Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Remember that you are being guarded by the power of God. So remember and focus on your divine protector. Focus on him. In the midst of your suffering, remember that God is protecting you. He is covering you. He is there for you.
Life comes with its fair share of pain and suffering. We all face challenges, setbacks, and heartbreak at some point. What truly matters is our response to these trying moments. This week, Pastor Neil teaches from 1 Peter, where Peter's letter reminds us that no matter the suffering we endure, we should focus and remember that we are chosen to live in a way that sets us apart from the world. Jesus is our living hope and our divine protector. Where we are headed in the end is what truly counts. Pastor Neil has titled this message, Living Hope Beyond Pain and Suffering.
Every human being has experienced profound emotional or physical pain. How many of you have never experienced pain in your life? Let me see your hand. Anybody? Everybody has experienced some pain in their life. And sometimes as believers, we wonder why. Because maybe the gospel that was preached to us was that when you come to the Lord Jesus, everything is going to be fine. And you will never have pain, you will never have suffering. That is not the truth. You will have pain and you will have what? Suffering. Some people are living in pain because the doctors made mistakes. And they are human, so they are capable of making mistakes. There are people who are in pain because they got a news from the doctor that they have a condition that is chronic and they're going to live with it for the rest of their lives. So they have what I call emotional or mental what? Pain. For others, it is the pain of divorce. They married with the idea that it is for life. Ever happily after. And now it is the opposite. And there is pain in their lives. Or there are people who got married. They are not divorced. They are still in the marriage. But then they realize that, man, what did I just get myself into? And you are in pain and in suffering. Today, there is deliverance for you. I have been called to the hospital to see a woman who was married and for many years could not have a child, but finally got one. And the child died 2 days after. People are trying all kinds of things and they are living with pain. Pain is everywhere. There are people who have physical pain in their body. And there is no solution to it. So they have to go into their grave with it. There are some who are living in pain because they lost a loved one unexpectedly. I can go on and tell you about the stories of people and how pain is common to all of us. Have you met someone who went to school, got a degree, was so excited, their job's out, and they will have a very good job and everything is going to be fine. And then after graduation and taking loans and still paying the loans, they got no job. Have you ever been there? And so pain touches all of us. I said it does what? It touches all of us. We have different kinds, different intensities. The duration, there are people, maybe their pain was short-lived. Other people, they are still living with the same thing. The only thing that offers hope to you is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice I did not say what pastors are preaching. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It promises three things: eternal life, unending peace, and extraordinary comfort. The problem we have is that these things would only take place, not in the here and now. So right now, as you live, you will live in pain. The question I want us to answer is that amidst the current state of pain and suffering that you and I find ourselves in, how should we conduct ourselves? Because Peter is going to teach us today in our first lesson that you can still smile through your suffering. What did you just say, preacher? I said you can what? Smile through what? Your suffering. And the principle that Peter teaches us here in this text, I can draw two examples. Has your wife ever been pregnant? Anybody? Let me see your hands. Anybody? Your wife ever been pregnant? Did you see the pain they go through with a pregnancy? Right? And some of us men, all you do is just sleep when they are in pain. So sometimes you haven't seen it. That's why your hand is not up. But the woman goes through so much pain with the pregnancy, but because of the child that is going to come out, they go through the pain smiling. Not that they are not in pain. They are still in pain. But they go through it smiling. Why? Because of the baby that is to come. The same it is with an athlete who is training so that he can get an Olympic medal. Sometimes they have broken a bone, something has gone wrong, and they work through the pain and continue to do what they have to do. Why? Because of what is about to happen in the future. And Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, is teaching us a principle that whether it is pain or suffering or whatever it is you are dealing with life, there is a living hope beyond that. And he teaches us how to do it. So our first lesson is living hope beyond pain and what? Suffering. Next week, we will look at the hope we have beyond temptation. But today, let's look at that. So are you in 1 Peter chapter 1? We're going to read the first 12 verses. And whilst you are opening your Bible, I want to remind you we are reading a letter. Everybody say letter. These days, when people write letters, they always sign their names where? At the bottom. Back then, in the days when Peter was, their names are put at the beginning. They sign their names from the beginning. And anytime you are studying the scriptures, please never forget that you pay attention to the kind of literature you're reading. We are reading what? A letter. What does it mean? It means it's a real person writing to another what? Real person. These are not imaginary. And he's dealing with real issues. And I believe that you will agree with me that pain and suffering is real. And Peter is telling all his friends that, listen to me, there's something you need to understand. Pain and suffering may not go away, but you can smile through it. Tell the person sitting next to you, you can smile through your pain. And say this to them, I don't know how. Please finish it up by saying, we're going to learn about it today. Are you in 1 Peter chapter 1? Let's start from verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So Peter tells you who he is. He's the one writing. And he says, I am what? An apostle. One of the 12 apostles that Jesus chose. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, to those chosen. Other versions would say the elect. He says, those chosen living as exiles dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. So notice what he says, that the people that you are talking about, they are refugees in other people's country. I wanted you to pay attention to the context. All right? They are chosen, but they are what? He's trying to paint a picture that for the believer, though you live in this world, you are not of it. You are an alien here. You might be a citizen of the United States, but you are an alien because your original country is not United States. Your original country is heaven. Are you following me? Let's look at verse 2. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. He says, so these people who are chosen Oftentimes you hear people say that God has chosen some people and it's not. He says, we have been chosen according to God's what? Foreknowledge. In other words, God knows that you will choose him, and so he chooses you. So his choice of you is not based on the fact that he is partial, but it's on his knowledge that you will make that choice to serve him. Are you with me? It is like going on a flight and you get to the airport. Then all of us are sitting there waiting, and then they start saying, everybody en route to, give me a name. All of us on our way to Houston, for example, please get ready to board the plane. Now, the person who made the announcement excludes other people. It is not because they are being partial. It is because the rest of us have paid for the ticket and we are ready to go to Houston. Are you with me? So Peter is saying that I am writing to people who may be in exile, but they are the elect of God. And God has elected them because they have chosen to pay their airfare, ready to go to the destination set by God. Are you with me? All right. Don't let nobody confuse you that God is bad. He chooses some and he leaves some. No, he doesn't do that. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy and has given us new birth. Please underline that. He's given us new birth into a living hope. Underline living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. These people are suffering. They are refugees. They are living in other people's country. And please, let's just be honest. If somebody is not from your country, you notice that the natives, not all of them treat them right. So I want you to read with these things in mind, that they are not having a nice life, all right? This was a time when they are living in Rome, and Emperor Nero and others were just taking Christians. They arrest them, and then they tie them to some form of hay, and then they set them on fire. Because the entire city of Rome in the night was dark, they will use the Christians who have been set on fire as light. We are sitting here today, just coming to church is an issue. Some people have labored and suffered. By the way, that's not Old Testament, New Testament. So if they are making heaven and we are, what kind of crowns will they get and what will we get? So he says, I want you to remember you have a new birth. In other words, you have been put into a new family, the family of God. And because you are in the family of God, you have a new home and you have a new inheritance. Let's keep reading that. I love Peter's argument. Verse 4, he says, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible glorious joy. He's saying that, listen, you have a Savior who is unseen. You love him, right? And you put your confidence in, even though in the midst of it, you are still suffering. Right? But he says, whilst you do that, your faith is what? Developing. It is growing. Verse 10, concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that will come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired. Everybody said they inquired. They inquired into what time or what circumstance the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So now let's look at the letter. The letter was written by who? So it is from the Apostle Peter, all right? And who is he writing to? The chosen or the elect who have been what? Scattered throughout all of Turkey. Let's bring it to modern day. And he begins his letter by saying, "Dear suffering Christian." Anybody here not suffering? Anybody here not in pain? This letter is for you. Say that with me. This letter is mine. Let me summarize everything we read into these words. Your life is going to be tough. That's what Peter is saying. Your life is going to be tough because you have been chosen to live differently from the world around you. This means that you will face a lot of disappointment, pain, suffering before you get to heaven. To go through the pain and the suffering well, you are going to have to remember and focus. Everybody say remember and focus. Now, there are 8 things we're going to go through and find out that he tells you to focus on. The same way the pregnant woman focuses on the unborn child and the athlete focuses on the prize, he says there are 8 things you must focus on so that you can smile through your pain and your suffering. Are you here with me today? So let's examine that. Number one, he says, remember that you have a new birth. You have been born again. Not everybody in the world have been what? Born again. So remember and focus on your new birth. Why? Because it reminds me I am now part of the family of God. It reminds me that heaven is my destination. So in this world, you may not have a house, but there's one up there waiting for you. Secondly, he says, remember and focus on your living hope, that there is a new hope for you. Maybe the government does not give you hope, but Christ does. He says, in this life, you will suffer, but smile through it because the destination is important. Number three, he says, remember and focus on your imperishable inheritance. You have an inheritance. Did you see that? He says you have inheritance. Where is the inheritance? It leads us to the next one. Remember and focus on your new home, heaven. Because you are not going to be here forever. Every single one of us may be citizens of this country, but the Bible says you are an alien. You are a foreigner to this world. Do we walk in the flesh? We do not what? The scripture says that we are in the world, but we are not what? Of the world. In fact, if you keep reading, Peter, get into the last chapter, he talks about the fact that there is a system, and he calls it the Babylonian system. He says, how can you live in Babylon and not be a Babylonian? How do you live in an anti-Christian world and still be a Christian? Because you'll not be liked. Right? So, the 8 things we are talking about, number one is what? New birth. Number two, your living hope. Number three, your imperishable inheritance. Number four is your new home. Your new home is heaven. Then he says, remember that you are being guarded by the power of God. So remember and focus on your divine protector. Focus on him. In the midst of your suffering, remember that God is protecting you. He is covering you. He is there for you. Then he says, remember and focus on your developing faith, because through the pain and the suffering, your faith is growing. It is becoming better. You are becoming better and better. Amen? Sometimes there are people, why am I always in trouble? Why am I always in trouble? Christ never promises a suffering-free life. Never. America does. The pursuit of happiness, Christ never does. And remember that you in this system, you are an alien. Few people are saying amen. You want to stay here on earth and remain in this. God is calling us to something better. Amen. So he says, remember and focus on your new birth. Remember and focus on what? Your living hope. Remember and focus on your imperishable inheritance. Remember and focus on your new home. Remember and focus on your divine protector. Remember that in the midst of this, your faith is being what? Developed. 7, remember and focus your unseen Savior. He says your Savior cannot be seen, but he's still working for you. So Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are not your saviors. Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ what? Yes. You must always remember that. You are not of this world. You are in it, but you are not of it. The eighth thing he says that remember and focus on the fact that your deliverance is guaranteed. It is what? Guaranteed. Remember and focus on that. So for the believer who lives in this world, always remember these eight things that you are born again. It is not a cliche. You have a new birth. Because you have a new birth, you are part of God's family. And if you are part of God's family, guess who protects you? God himself. God says, because you are part of his family, the things that happen in this world, you don't need to worry about it, because one day you have unending peace. How are you going to sacrifice that for some little peace here? You can't do that. You must make that decision to live for the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Okay, shall we read together? Go. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. So the Apostle Paul affirms the words of Peter. He says, listen, don't compare. Never make that mistake. Don't compare. Say that with me. Don't compare. Say that again. Don't compare. In other words, this is not something even to compare. It is incomparable. The same way we say God has no match, your pain has no match to the glory that will be revealed in you. And he said, always set that glory ahead of you. Look at it all the time. So that you can go through your pain right now. There are two options. Have you seen a believer who is praying because they've learned that God can heal, and they prayed over the same sickness over and over and over and over, and it's as if they don't have faith and they are going through pain. Sometimes you worry, don't you? But there are times God will heal you. There are times he waits. As to why he does that, we will never understand. But he says, whilst you go through that pain, you can smile through it. And the way to do it is to see that one day, when this corruptible will give away to the incorruptible body, the scripture says this body will not be subject to pain anymore. He says, look up to that. Focus on that. Put your eyes on it. And live your life that way. Are you with me? For I consider, I'm reading Romans 8 verse 18 again. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Verse 19 says, for the creation eagerly waits for the anticipation of the sons of God to be revealed. In other words, he's saying that, yeah, we are in pain, but all of creation is also what? In pain. What is creation waiting for? You. The day you will be manifested. So this manifestation of the day, the skies will crack and the King of glory will descend. And Jesus will utter the voice through the archangel that my own shall come to me. And you find yourself in his presence. The Bible says all of creation is waiting for that day. When that happens, verse 20, for the creation was not subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, but in hope. What is that hope? That living hope that one day we will stand in his presence. Verse 21, Romans 8, that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage. So it is not only the inhabitants of the earth that are in bondage, but creation itself, the elements are in bondage. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, we ourselves who have the spirit, we ourselves who are there, so you and I, who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit as the first fruit, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting. Everybody say eagerly waiting. I want you to underline it because the scripture teaches us some few principles here. I'll look at it and then we close, right? We also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope, we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait. We eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit, right? So he tells us in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit is helping you. The Holy Spirit is what? In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for. So he said there is going to come a time when you realize that you are really weak from the pain and the suffering. But the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. So when you're going through the pain and the suffering, say, Holy Spirit, please help me out. Amen. Verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to. This is what precedes the verse we always quote. And we know. How do we know? We know because Peter has already told us that we, because of our new birth, because we have a guaranteed deliverance, these are the things we know. So anything you go through now, you don't worry because you can smile through it, knowing that one day this body will be redeemed. Oh, it's a good place to say amen. I know some of you want me to just say that God is going to alleviate you now. It is not in the Bible. Anybody who told you that is lying to your face. And I'm sure you found out by now. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are the called according to, that is the elect, those whom he knew, he chose. Amen. So let me end by saying this to you, child of God, that you may be feeling the pain of and the sting of suffering in your body. It's every part of you. But I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me to focus the eternal hope that one day I will be in your presence. But in the meantime, God's presence amongst us also gives us hope. This is why worship is so crucial. Because sometimes when you get on your knees and you are by yourself, don't wait till you come into this building and you mimic what happens here. You begin to worship the Lord. All of a sudden, your problems don't go away, but your God looks much bigger to you than your problem. Are you with me today? Let me pray for all of you. Father, we ask today that you will strengthen us to fully understand that in spite of our suffering and our pain, your word says we cannot compare that to the glory that will be revealed in us. Help us all to remember and focus on this truth, for in it lies our joy. Help us to smile through all our pain and our suffering. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.